In the 70s, 2,000 Vietnamese asylum seekers arrived to Australia by boat and were welcomed by the then Fraser government. The government went on to resettle tens of thousands more Indochinese refugees, a moment that's often remembered as a positive one in Australians' history. Now the government's catch cry is stop the boats. So what's changed in the past 40 years? That's the question historian Dr. Claire Higgins is trying to answer in her book Asylum by Boat, Origins of Australia's Refugee Policy. The wise Bonnie Parker asked her when immigration became a political issue here in Australia.
In the late 70s and early 80s, you had the sustained arrival of Indochinese, mostly Vietnamese, by boat. And then there was a break for a few years. And then asylum seekers began to arrive by boat again in the late 80s and then through the 90s and into the 2000s. And that coincided with a backlash against non-discriminatory immigration to Australia more generally and the demographic change in the community. Immigration became a politicised issue. The two major parties have usually avoided politicising immigration, but it became sort of politically profitable to do that. And asylum seekers, this area of policy, bore the brunt of that. And the reason being is that Australia has a large immigration program and it's non-discriminatory, as it should be. And so, therefore, government, in order to reassure the public that immigration is controlled and orderly and carefully planned, take a hard line on what is really, in comparison to other countries, a very small number of people arriving by boat without valid visas, these asylum seekers. And so they've sort of become the focal point for community anxieties about unplanned entry to Australia.
Your research includes interviews with former Prime Minister Malcolm Fraser and other key figures in immigration at the time. How did they reflect back on this time in Australia's history?
Yes, I was lucky enough to interview Mr. Fraser and his former immigration ministers, Michael McKellar and Ian McPhee, and all of them were appalled at the direction that policy had taken in recent years because, as they saw it and as they handled it when they were in government, Australia needs to work with the international community to manage forced migration. Australia can't go it alone with a hard and restrictive approach. That is a dead end, as we have seen in recent weeks on Manus Island, as just one example. They were very much interested in Australia taking a constructive, multilateral approach, a rational approach to this issue.
Taking us back to the current situation, of course, detention is a major issue at the moment with the situation on Manus Island. But originally, the idea of mandatory detention was rejected. Why was that?
So, Bonnie, one of the most interesting things I found when I was researching the book is that those ideas about, okay, what will happen if thousands of Vietnamese sail to Australia, how will we manage people? There were suggestions for placing people in forms of detention or other kinds of facilities. And this was partly an international discussion over whether which particular country would host camps that UNHCR, the UN Refugee Agency, would help run. But in Australia, it was also seen as potentially a way of deterring asylum seekers. And one of the most important things I found was consistent evidence within the Department of Immigration records that this idea of detention was rejected. And it was rejected for four reasons. And they still stand today. They are still the reasons why it should be rejected today. And the first was that detention would create a political problem, and we've seen that borne out. The second was that detention would not deter asylum seekers, and we've seen that borne out. The third was that detention would not provide a genuine answer to the issue of forced migration, and we can see that. And the fourth, which I think is most prescient, the Secretary of the Department of Immigration at that time, he told a public audience in Canberra that there is no way that Australia could detain asylum seekers indefinitely without a tremendous, as he called it, a tremendous guard apparatus. You can guess that he would never have imagined the billion-dollar securitised immigration detention system that we have today, but he was absolutely right, and that is what it would require, and that is what it has been borne out, much to the detriment of the mental health of people who are detained and Australia's international standing.
To look back at your book now, you've done all this research over the period of time. How can exploring the history of Australia's immigration be used to approach it in a contemporary context?
I think it's incredibly useful because we have to understand how Australian policy got to the point at which it is today. And while the hard line against asylum seekers and the harsh rhetoric, that might seem normal now, But history shows that it isn't normal. It wasn't always this way. And that government can take a rational, principled approach to the issue, an approach that encourages positive public opinion and through which Australia works constructively with other countries and upholds its international responsibilities. If we sort of look at it very simply, the period that I was looking at when Australia responded to Vietnamese asylum seekers, the policy drove the politics, whereas today the politics drives the policy, and we can see that that leads absolutely nowhere.
Dr. Claire Higgins, historian and senior research associate at the Kaldor Centre for International Refugee Law at UNSW, speaking to The Wire's Bonnie Parker about her book Asylum by Boat, Origins of Australia's Refugee Policy, published by New South Publishing.